Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the success strategies and the mindsets of the top 1% so you can amplify and transform your life and your business today. I'm really excited and honored for today's guest. He's back again on Making Bank. And this time, he's just, we first talked about his initial book launch, kind of his background a little bit more. And now we're going to dive into really what makes you an expert, how you can get your voice out there, and then how you can transform and move your, whether it's your e-commerce business, whatever kind of online business that you want to get more marketing, better marketing, and just transform to being a better person overall. So I want to welcome Russell Brunson back to Making Bank. Russell, welcome back.
Glad to be here, man. I appreciate it, as always.
Yeah, awesome. And we're going to be talking a little bit today about expert secrets. So here's a copy. I know he's got one. Boom. Can't miss it out. And actually, I was at Barnes & Noble the other day and was looking all around. So they didn't have them. So I put in a couple orders so they'll pull it in the store for you.
Yeah. That's awesome.
We got to get Barnes & Noble hustling there.
I know. They need to know.
That's right. Well, cool, man. Well, I'm excited to have you back. I know our first show that we shot probably a year and a half or so ago. And when it came out, I remember going back in and looking at the back end. I don't ever look at my numbers or my stats or anything. I just love doing this, and so it's fun to have you on. But I just happened to go in to download it to help push it out and get it all over the internet. And after, like, I think it was like 5 days or 6 days, we had over 40,000 views of it. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. That's awesome. So people loved what you had to say, and so that's kind of our guide to see if we can crush those numbers this time.
Make it even better. Sweet.
That's right. But let's see. Let's talk a little bit about what inspired you to really kind of write that next step in the book? Because I know .com Secrets came out, and that was kind of like your prequel, as you say, to what Expert Secrets is. So I guess tell us a little bit about what drove you to write this book.
Yeah, it's funny because after I wrote the .com Secrets book, I swore I would never write another book again ever. I don't know. Some people like are really good authors and they're good at writing, and like I don't think that's me. Like, yeah, it's like giving birth. I think it's like I gave birth to the first book, and then I was like, I remember my wife. We've got five kids now, but after every time, she's like, I'll never do this again. And then a few months later, you forget. But I was like, I'll never do that again because it was so hard, and I didn't for a long time. Like we focused on the book. We sold a lot of them, and it was good. It's helped so many people to understand like the basics of funnels and communication within those funnels and how the whole game is played. And I'm really proud of it. And then. Again, I swore I'd never write another book again. It's funny. I was actually at a 25K meeting. You might have been there.
I think
it was the same one.
Yeah.
But it was the night before I had a dinner with a group of like five or six people, and Dean Graziosi was sitting across the table from me, and we're talking about, I don't even know what we're talking about, but we're talking about something. And I'm sitting there, and it was funny because, you know, Dean, as you know, Dean, he's done infomercials and sold things on TV and like everything. And I've been, at the time I was figuring out, how do I get ClickFunnels out to the masses? And that was like the question through my head. And as Dean and I are sitting there talking about some unrelated topic, I looked at him and I was like, I need to write another book. It needs to be called Expert Secrets. And I just bought the domain a couple months ago, and I'm like, it needs to be Expert Secrets. And Dean's going to somehow do an infomercial for me. I don't even know how. I don't even know him yet. Like I'm just meeting him. It's
right.
Kind of awkward. But I was like, huh. And so like I just kind of stopped and I'm listening to him. I'm like, oh my gosh, am I really going to write a book? And I was like, I don't want to. I can't do it. And and that's the real story. I went back to the apartment that night, and Dave was there with me at the thing. I was like, Dave, we're writing a book. He's like, what? You said you'd never do it again. I'm like, I know, but I know what it is. I know how it's supposed to be. And like, I know why it's so important. And, you know, we talked about earlier, like in ClickFunnels, I think as of right now, we're about 40,000 active members. Either we're going to cross that today or tomorrow or something,
sure.
But we're really close to that. And it's interesting as I watch, like we did our two comma clubs. We've got over 100 people that made at least $1 million in a funnel.
That's awesome.
Got, you know, 39,900 and whatever that they have it. And I'm like, what's the difference between the one percenters and the rest? And like, as I looked at all their businesses, and what's interesting is that there were e-commerce businesses, there were network marketing businesses, there were all sorts of business models that didn't matter.
Sure.
One thing that did matter is like the commonality between this stuff. Like they understood how to position themselves, like having a person in the brand. They understood how to tell stories. They understood how, like, funnels don't convert based on like the process of the funnel.
Right.
Like, that's nice. But what converts the funnel is like the words on the page and the communication with the audience and how you sell them. And it's like almost like funnels became so technical that people are like geeking on the tech side and they're forgetting like the human side. There's an art and the science, right?
Sure.
.com Secrets is almost like, here's the science, and Expert Secrets is like, here's the art. Here's how we make these things work and how do we communicate and all those kind of things. And so that's kind of what I knew I needed to create. And then it started the process of creating it, which took me over 18 months to actually do. But and even, I don't know if you heard the story. Now, I was about 7 or 8 months into it. I just finished the first draft, so 240 pages in, and I was at a cabin with my kids. I was playing them all day. They went to bed at night. My wife went to bed and went to do an edit. And I was reading it, and I was like, dang it. Like, I was like, this is like turning out good, but it's not like what I want. I wanted something like just great. And so like I had to do it on Snapchat. So I got my phone out on live. If I don't do it live, I knew I was going to wuss out. So I like put it live. I'm like, hey guys, look what I'm doing. I highlighted the whole book and I deleted it. And then I saved it. So it was gone like forever.
Oh, no.
It's gone. And I'm like, oh my gosh, now I got to start back from scratch. So about whatever that was, 7 or 8 months ago is when I started back from scratch. And it was really cool because it gave me a chance to really think like, what does this book need to be to get people to really, to get anybody who either they have a business or they don't, how do you get it to a point where it gives them a framework and a process so they can do it? And so that was kind of the premise of it and started the process. And now we're here.
So you have the book, totally scrapped it. You don't like writing books. I'm there with you. I'm like, struggling still to get like a full one. I've done like pieces of other books that have done well and everything else. But man, it's just a struggle to get that information down. So I totally can feel for you where you're coming from. So obviously rewriting the book and everything now, what you have now is what you were going for initially.
Yeah. I'm so proud of it now. Like it's really, really cool because yeah, I don't know. The first time around, I felt like I was kind of all over the place. But this time it's interesting. Like, cause after I deleted everything, I was like, it came back to the foundation. Like what creates mass movements and, or right. cults or whatever you want to call it. And so that's what I was trying to figure out. And so I sit back and I spent probably the next 2 or 3 months, like studying deep into cults and movements and like how all these things work. And, as I found, as you read the book, there was like a pattern that almost all of them had. And after I figured out the pattern, then I was like, okay, that's the foundation of the book. And then everything else blossoms from that pattern. So you understand, like, these are the three things every mass movement has.
Right.
Like that's honestly, that's all you need to know about the book. These are the three things. Go and do it. And that's like, wait a minute. But here's what we did and how we did it and what worked and what didn't work. And kind of go piece by piece, all the different pieces of it. Because I've read a lot of books. I've read a lot on, like, how to start a mass movement, how to build cults. They talk about here's what these guys did. And then they leave it there kind of to your imagination. So I'm like, okay, well, I learned about this concept here, but – how does someone like me do to selling software, selling a supplement? Like, I don't
– sure.
How does that relate? I'm not building a real cult. And it was like, okay, let me think through that. And we started trying things out and we would test them. I mean, one good example of this is you look at any of the mass movements, right? They have a future-based cause, but there's something that's like they're all trying to shoot for.
Right.
In the book, I call that section helping them break the four-minute mile. And obviously you know about the four-minute mile.
Yeah.
As soon as the first dude broke the four-minute mile, everybody could do it afterwards. But until then, like nobody could do it. And for me, like that was true in this business. Like my goal when I got started in this business was to make $1,000 a month. Like that was my honest goal because that's what my wife was making supporting us. I was like, if I can do that, then I'd be helping as much as she's helping.
Right.
And my lofty goals. But during that time, John Reese, who it's a shame not as many people know him right now, but when I got on, like he was one of the founders of our whole market. And he did the first product launch that did $1 million in a day. I think it took like 18 hours. And I was like I was a young kid. I was at Bear Lake, Idaho with my parents and my wife went, didn't have any kids yet. And there's no internet access at this lake. I remember I went to the public library to check my email in case my one or two customers, you know, was upset about something. I checked my email. None of my customers messaged me. And then I saw this email coming through from John Reese that said basically he made $1 million in a day. I remember sitting back in my chair being like, are you like – right now, he sold $1,000 course. I'm like, $1,000 times what? Times 1,000 equals $1 million. I'm like, he sold a thousand copies of $1,000 course and made $1 million. I was like, I don't think I can do that. But what if I made $1,000 course and I sold three a day? And I was like, in a year, I'd be a millionaire. And I was like, open up all the, like, he broke the 4 minute mile for me. And like,
right.
A lot of my friends now in the business, like, that was the same day for them. It was like, they were kind of dabbling in this thing. And then it was like, that 4 minute mile has been broken, right? And so most movements have something like that.
Sure.
So for us, inside of ClickFunnels, we built that in our community. We built an award called the 2 Comma Club that you know about.
Right.
And we put it out there. And what's interesting is when we first put it out, I didn't know how many people had qualified for one. And Dave ran the stats. I think we had like 55 or 60 people that qualified for it. And so we started putting that out there. And then we started making it more public in our event. Obviously, we gave away trophies, big old, you know, to everyone. And what was interesting is that now that that's out there, people are like, oh my gosh, like it's not just Russell making funnels. It's like there's tons of my peers that made $1 million funnel. Like it's really not that hard. And it's like the format model has been broken for them. And now like we're seeing like people all the time coming through like, oh, I broke $1 million. Oh, I broke. It's like, oh, it's not that big of a deal anymore. Whereas like 6 months ago it was. And so it's like we help them break 4 minute mile and give them something to achieve. And now everyone's trying to achieve that. Everyone that was at the event who didn't get a trophy on stage was sitting back in the audience like, I want to be on stage with a trophy next year.
Right. You
know, half my staff told me that too. Like everyone is saying that, right? And it's like, so that's like the practical application of this thing that you see tons of movements doing. But here's how we did it in our business. I share how other people have done it in their business. So it makes things really practical. You can think through it for yourself. Like how can I make that work for what I'm doing?
No, that's anyway. Awesome. And we'll actually hit this year, 2017 here, we'll hit our Two Comma Club with one of our funnels, and another one's launching hopefully by the end of the week. So that one actually might hit it a lot faster, I'm thinking. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
double trophies next year.
That's right. Double trophies. So let's dive in a little bit in the book. I know initially in the book itself, and if you kind of missed our clip yesterday on the live with talking about, you know, the attractive character and everything else. Maybe just kind of give us a quick overview on that, because there's a couple other sections I want to really dive into a bit more. But I know that kind of sets up the whole process. So
yeah, okay. So that comes down to the foundation of that I talked about, like the foundation of every mass movement. So there are three things that all of them had. It's here if you're watching the video. There's the screenshot. It's like page number one. And so, and then like I said, we dive deep in the whole rest of the book's diving deep into those. But number one. Was every mass movement had some kind of charismatic leader or attractive character.
Sure.
You think about it. It's funny. First time I started talking about this, I was like talking about the negative and the positive, right? The negative side, you got Hitler and his Nazi party. He was the attractive character. And you got
right.
Christ and Christianity. He was the attractive character. And they're like, well, that's true with cults, Russell, and religion, but it's not true for business. And I was like, all right, well, what about Apple? Like, do they have an attractive leader? I don't know. And they're like, oh, well, Steve Jobs, but like that was a fluke. No one else has ever done that. I'm like, oh, what about Tesla? And they're like, well, Elon Musk, but, and like every, like, it was just funny because they're like, okay, fine, maybe the good ones do. And I'm like, well, yes, they do. And so that's the first thing is like yes, the do. Charismatic leader. So you got to identify that. That's like, okay, right. Well, is that me in the business? Is it my partner? Is it like, who is that person that's going to be the face of it? And then now you're aware of it. And it's like, how do we amplify that? And so the first section all about that's like, here's things we did to amplify our message and like find our voice and like, and understand how to communicate and talk and like tell a story. All that kind of stuff ties into the first one. And then the second one is like the future-based cause. Like every movement had a big future-based cause. And so like the Two Comma Club for us is one piece of that. But the concept as a whole is like my community I'm leading, I'm trying to lead them somewhere. Like where are they going? And there's a lot of pieces inside of there. You know, inside of our community, one of our big mantras is that you're one funnel away. Like that's part of our future-based cause. It's like, look, you're one funnel away. Here's my story. Here's so-and-so's story. And person after person, like there's all these stories people tell about they're one funnel away. And all of a sudden, like, there's this future-based cause for everyone. Like, God, I'm one funnel away from success. Like, I need to be part of this because that's – and so we're building these future-based causes, or we call sure. them inside the inner circle, as you know, culture. Yep.
which is kind of I was fun. Trying to find that shirt this morning. I'm like, where is it? I'm like, no.
Where's the culture?
It must be dirty.
That's part of it too. Like that whole section here about t-shirts. Like, how many of our t-shirts do you have? You got one on right now, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah, I do. Yeah.
Like giving out cool t-shirts that people identify with. Like that one says, "I build funnels." You know, we got Funnel Hacker. Like what shirts people wear that they personally identify with the movement.
Sure.
Right. Like I look at them because all of us are involved in a lot of movements, right? Like in religion, I'm a Mormon, so I belong to that, and like I identify with that. Other right. people are Christians. Other people are Muslim. Like you identify with the movement, right? So it's like, how do I get people to identify with me? One huge way is like have them wear you on their chest, like a shirt. It's like one of the greatest culture building things in the world, right? Which is why we keep doing so many cool ones. In fact, we were on a writing retreat last week with the Harmon brothers, who did like the Squatty Potty commercial, a bunch of other ones.
Oh yeah.
And they're writing a commercial for us, which is hilarious. And at the end of it, they had this one line. And as soon as they hit the line, it's like, that's going to be a t-shirt. We are going to have that t-shirt made. And everyone's going to be wearing it. It's going to be like, I'm always looking for things because that'll self-identify people with like with the movement, right?
That's cool.
So that's number two. And then the third one, and this is like one of my favorites, probably the least understood one, is that every mass movement, cult, whatever you want to call it, the leader, the charismatic leader, always offered their people a new opportunity. Okay, and the opposite of new opportunity is what we call an improvement offer. And so a lot of people, if you're struggling in business, it's because you're selling improvement. And this book goes deep into it. But you think about like improvement, like if let's say you're selling me something that's going to help me be smarter or stronger or faster, usually like the ER words are like improvement, right?
Sure.
If I'm going to give you money because you're going to make me smarter, by default, I'm admitting that I'm not smart. So when I become smarter, like there's this huge like, oh, like I have to like admit that I'm dumb to become smarter, admit that I'm weak to become strong. And there's like this internal like dilemma that we naturally have.
Sure.
The other thing is like, you think about most people are not, a lot of people have desires to get to do things, but they're not like, what's the word? I'm blanking out on my word. I referenced my own book. Most people aren't ambitious. That's the right word.
Right.
People don't have ambition. And so if you're selling improvement, you're selling towards people's ambition. And most people, I say maybe 1 or 2% of the population is actually ambitious.
Right.
Everyone's got desires. They don't have ambition. So you're saying, look, you can become better and you can be smarter. We're going to work out really, really hard. Like the majority, the masses are like, that's like a lot of work, right?
Yeah.
It's like improvement, like inherently, if you're selling improvement offer, 98% of your audience, you've already disqualified because it's going to be hard. And that's tough. And so like the opposite of that is this new opportunity, where a new opportunity is something new and it's green. They don't understand it. And so you're not saying like, I'm going to – like we talked about on the yesterday, like
yeah,
you've got like if someone's coming to you, it's because there's a result that they want, right? They want to lose weight or make money or, you know, whatever that thing is. And they're like, typically you're not the first person they're coming to. Like they're already in some kind of vehicle trying to get that. So they're driving down the road. I'm gonna lose weight, and they're in the Atkins diet vehicle, right? And they're driving. I'm trying to lose weight. And if I come to you, I'm like, look, this is the deal. You're in the Atkins diet. You're trying to lose weight. This, you know, and I know you know it sucks because it's horrible, and you want to eat some bread, but I got a way to make Atkins diet a little bit better. What you're going to do is instead you're going to, you know, and I'm like trying to improve it. And you're like, but this sucks. Like I'm not getting my result and you're going to make it better. Like it's still not good. Like I know this vehicle and I hate it.
Right.
Right. And so that's what improvement offers doing. Now a new opportunity is saying, look, you were in that vehicle, the Atkins diet, let's say it sucks. Come over here to whatever your new opportunity is. Let's say it's the Bulletproof diet and you can drink butter in your coffee and like it's super good. And it's, life over here is way better and you don't have to diet or count calories. Like come hang out with us. And you're sitting here in this vehicle you hate. You're like, you're right. And so you get out of that and you switch to a new opportunity.
Right.
You get that same result. And so like that's what every single mass movement has happened is like the leader comes in and doesn't say I'm gonna make this thing you're in better. It's saying, look, that stuff sucks. Here's a new opportunity. Take this. And the cool thing about new opportunities, you don't know, like you don't have any preconceived notion that because you know that the thing you're in sucks, you know it's hard, but over here's a new thing, you're like, I have no preconceived notion, and it plays off people's desires, which when you have an offer that is desire based, then you're not getting the 2%, you're getting everybody.
Yeah.
And that's like the key to starting these mass movements. And anyway, that's kind of for the book.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Cause that makes total sense. Cause with the whole new opportunity to, you know, just trying to get people to change where they currently are makes massive sense because it's like, it's a struggle to, like you said, want to be able to go, oh, well, okay, now I got to eat like this or I got to do this and I'm already missing out on this because all my friends get to go do that. And But if you present it, hey, here's this new opportunity, even though it may be pretty similar, you know, it's going to give them a just a whole substantial, hey, we're going to be able to do this, but – you know, with this vehicle here, you're going to be able to feel better. You're going to be able to, like you said, eat whatever you want. And, you know, whether it was with, you know, ketogenics, with the drinks and everything as well. So, that's awesome. And so with the new opportunity then, I know from there, you take people into kind of an opportunity switch. So they, hey, here's this new opportunity. Now we're going to switch you into it. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, so basically there's two ways to kind of position a new opportunity. One, I call it an opportunity switch, and the other I call it an opportunity stack. So the opportunity switch is kind of we talked about, like, they're in this vehicle. I'm going to switch you out of this vehicle into a new vehicle. Like, we're literally taking you out of whatever you're doing now and switching you to this new one.
Right.
Now, one thing that I find interesting is that when I first got started in my business, and I was still kind of learning all this stuff, I didn't understand that. And so I started creating a whole bunch of opportunity switches. Like, I don't talk a lot about this publicly, but, like, we did a launch every 3 months for like 5 or 6 years. And so like every month, like, here's the newest thing in the world. It's amazing. And like, come switch to my new opportunity. Everyone would come in, they're all excited. They're making money and things are happening good. And then like 3 months later, I'd launch a new thing. And I'm like, hey everyone, here's a new thing. And like, they'd switch. And after like 2 or 3 switches, people are like, well, you told me that was the greatest thing. I'm like, yeah, it is, but this is great. Great now. Like, fun over. And I told people, like, your customers will get schizophrenia because they're like shifting from thing to thing. Eventually,
oh yeah, you get burned out.
Leave you. And so I think that every good business needs one and only one opportunity switch. Like you're switching someone from whatever opportunity they're in to what they're in today. And after you have them in that opportunity, then you want to protect them. And you say, look, I'm not going to switch you again. Like this is the thing. But how do we make more money? Like how do we serve them more?
Sure.
So the next phase is like, hey, we've switched them into this. Now, what are the opportunity stacks that we can add upon this, right? So for example, for me, I switch people into ClickFunnels and that opportunity. And now they've used ClickFunnels. If I was to come the next day and be like, hey guys, guess what? This new thing on Amazon's amazing. Come to Amazon. Come over here, guys. They'd be like, but you said funnels. I'm like, yeah, but Amazon now. Like they'd be confused, right?
Right.
I stay in my vehicle. I stay in my lane, right? So here's ClickFunnels and its funnels. I'm like, what other opportunities do I have for these guys inside of this, right? And so I say, well, one opportunity is I know that their funnels aren't converting very well. If we had some software to help them write copy, that would help. And so also we introduce an opportunity stack, which is called funnel scripts.
Right.
I'm like, hey, you're in this vehicle right here. How many of you guys would like to make this like your actual full-time job? This could be your profession. You could become a ClickFunnels certified consultant. Boom, I offer an opportunity switch to become a consultant. But it's all within the same switch that I did initially, right?
Sure.
And that's kind of the thing. So usually every business needs an opportunity switch, which is usually the first thing you sell somebody after they come into your world. And from there, we transition out to opportunity stacking. It's like, how can I serve these guys at a higher level? What's the next thing within this vehicle that's going to help them to get more, to get better things? You know, and that's kind of what I'm looking at between those two things.
And I know we dove into a little bit more on the Epiphany Bridge yesterday. So you guys, if you missed yesterday's live interview, go watch it because we dive into a little bit about the Epiphany Bridge. Maybe just give us 30 seconds on it because I want to try to get into a little bit about the false belief patterns and everything too before because we're
yeah
it goes fast.
I time goes so fast. I'm so sorry. All right, so I'm going to show you guys. So when you have the book, when you open up to page – where are we at? Where are we at? Page like 195 – or 95, sorry. So there's a picture of the Epiphany Bridge. Yep. So basically the concept is – most of us, like, we're living a normal life, and then there's something emotional that happens to us, right? We have this emotional epiphany where someone introduces something to us. Think about what you're good at. It could be weight loss, business, finance, whatever it is that you're passionate about. Before you got into that, like, you lived a normal everyday life, and all of a sudden, like, something happened, and you had this epiphany of, like, wow, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. Wow. This is how I lose weight. Or, like, you have that wow moment, right?
Right.
So you have that big epiphany, and then you come over here, and you start, like, okay, how's this going to work? And you start studying and start geeking out. You read every book, every blog, listen to every podcast, and soon you're using huge words that we call technobabble right here. Yeah. You know, if you're in the biohacking community, you start using words like ketogenics and you know, all the, like, the nerdy terms. If you're internet marketing, you're talking about autoresponders and split testing and sequencing and, like,
yep,
all this technobabble, right? And then what happens is we try to sell somebody on this concept, and we see them, and we're all excited, and the first thing we do is start spewing out this technobabble on them, and they get all covered in it, and we're trying to logically convince them of the truth, and they freak out, and then they run away, and they hide, and they never talk to you again because of the way we do it. And we have to understand is that people don't buy things logically. You didn't buy into this because somebody convinced you that ketogenesis or whatever was, like, the greatest thing.
Right.
Like, you got into that because of something else that happened. And so the key for us in selling anything is coming back and, like, what was it that got me excited? What was the epiphany that I had? When you understand that, like, that's how you sell someone, is you tell them that story and try to give them the same epiphany. If they had the same epiphany you had, they'll go logically sell themselves. You don't have to do that, but you have to help them. You have to create an environment through your stories that gives them that epiphany bridge or gives them that epiphany. And so the book goes into, like, how do you create the right state, and how do you get them to feel your story, and what's the structure of the story, and all those kind of things in the next, like, three or four chapters after here that walk you through that. And when you understand it, I mean, if you listen to anything, I tell, like, 55 stories every, like, 30 minutes or so. And it's like this process over and over
right.
And over to get people to feel a certain way and emotionally connect. And it's pretty powerful. And it's surprisingly simple after you see how it's kind of broken down in the book. And at the end of it, it's like, hey, here's the script. Here's the 9 questions. You answer these 9 questions. If you do it in the right order, you've built a perfect Epiphany Bridge.
No, that's awesome. And the cool thing, too, is I remember just seeing you guys have the Epiphany Bridge in the funnel scripts now.
It's going in. Yeah, I know Jim's been working. I don't know if it's live yet or not, but it should be. If not now, it will be very soon. Yeah.
Very soon. Okay, cool. Yeah, no, I remember seeing it. I was like, oh, sweet. It'll help create the whole Epiphany Bridge thing. How easy.
It's almost too simple.
Yeah. What's he doing to us? Well, no, funny story was I remember when I was flying out to Boise, and it's always like the longest connecting times to get to Boise from Cleveland.
Sorry about that.
I think it's Cleveland. But I remember I was listening to something. I think it was one of your marketing podcasts, and they were talking about You were talking about the it was for the keto drink OS, and you started to talk about it. And I'm like, okay, sweet. I'm on the airplane waiting. They shut the door. We took off. I'm like, crap. There's no Wi-Fi in the airplane, and it's like a 3-hour flight from Chicago or whatever. I'm like, what was he talking about? So like, I saved it on my phone, and I finally get there and land, and I'm like, listen. I'm like, oh, because I'm all in this health and supplements. And I'm like, whoa, what is this little keto drink that he's talking about? I got to get some of that. So it was a whole epiphany bridge, and you were talking about, oh, well, this is what I found. And I remember you were talking about it was like a campfire and this and the whole little story and everything for it.
Yeah.
And so it
sold you. You get the same epiphany.
Yeah. But the stuff works, so.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But all right, so after the epiphany bridge and everything, then you talk into about false belief patterns, and I'd like to kind of understand a little bit more and what you mean by, you know, breaking those false belief patterns.
Yeah. So as you'll find through the rest of the books, the first half is like teaching the core concepts, and the last half is basically me teaching how I do my presentations, my webinars, my stories. And if you look at like the foundation of all that, everyone thinks that like the way you sell someone is you come in there and you educate them for 60 minutes, then you sell them something at the end. It is completely not true. The way that it works, the way I do my presentations, the way I teach, the way I sell, the way everything works is I have to understand what somebody's false belief patterns are about the thing that I'm trying to sell, right?
Sure.
So if I was going to try to sell you this phone, inherently there's going to be a bunch of false beliefs you have almost immediately. And I found that they kind of fall into three different buckets. One is usually false beliefs about the thing, right? The new opportunity you're giving them. Number two is the false beliefs they have about themselves. Like, I don't know if I could actually do that.
Right.
And then third, like false beliefs are like, oh, well, they got to blame someone, their wife, their spouse, the weather, whatever it is. Right. And so what I try to do, walk you through the book is like, okay, if I'm going to sell you this book, this phone, what are all the false beliefs that they currently have? And I want to write them all down. Like, hey, well, they believe that it's going to be too big to fit in their pocket. They're going to believe, you know, whatever it is. And for whatever it is you sell, it's probably going to be different. But like, what are the false beliefs they have about those things? And what are the false beliefs they have about themselves being able to actually execute on those things? And what are the external things that they – other false beliefs have about other people, other things they could blame. Like, oh, I can't do it because of blah, you know. And so I figure out all those things. I list out all the false beliefs. And then what we do in the process in the book is like you look at the false beliefs. So say – I'll use network marketing because it's the easiest to illustrate with, right? So network marketing, the false belief could be like if I join a network marketing company, I'm gonna lose my friends and my family members, right? So that's the false belief they had. Now my question is like, well, why do they have that false belief? Like, what was the experience that made them believe that? So like, right. The experience they had was probably maybe they either joined one at one time and they called their mom and their dad and their sister and like got hung up on three times and like, oh, and so it created this story. Or maybe it's one of their friends called them and started pressuring them, and they're like, oh, and they didn't feel good. So they're like, no, this is bad. And so they created this story. And this is the story is the false belief they have about it. So if I want to overcome that false belief for them, I have to have a better story. And so sure. I say, okay, well, here's their false belief. What's the Epiphany Bridge story that I have that trumps that one? And so I might say, well, look, I had the same false belief that you do. In fact, let me tell you the story. And I go to my Epiphany Bridge story. And let's say the story is like, you know, I got in network marketing and I called my mom and my dad and my sister just like you did. And guess what? They all hung up on me. Like it was the same thing. It was horrible. And I almost gave up. And then I met this guy and he explained this thing called the internet and how you can actually generate leads on the internet, whatever it is, right? And I had this epiphany that there's actually people actually want this crap. And so I went online, I started doing this thing, and all of a sudden people started coming to me and I got leads and now I got this big team and everyone who contacts me, like people actually want this product. And it's so great. And I tell that story and all of a sudden like they're over here and they're like, wow, like my belief was this before, but he's right. He had the same experience I had, but he figured out this other piece. And all of a sudden this false belief disappears and it's gone. And now your story becomes their new belief. And that's the key. And so I do, I figure out what's the core false belief they have about the vehicle I'm trying to get them into. And the second one's like, what about me? Okay. So if you look at like my webinar, right? My first false belief, I'm trying to get people to believe that, that funnels are the greatest thing in the world. So as soon as I explain it, then all of a sudden they're like, wow, Russell's right. Funnels are awesome. So they believe the vehicle, but then they're like, oh, but I'm not technical. I can't do it. There's my false belief. I'm like, guess what? I'm not technical either. Check this out. And I show and I do a demo and all of a sudden I show and they're like, holy cow, I can actually do that. And this false belief disappears and now my belief's in their form.
Right.
So boom, boom. And then my third one for me, external for my business, is like, well, you know, I believe funnels are the coolest thing in the world. I think I could actually build them, but I don't know how to get traffic, so I can't do it. So I'm like, well, guess what? I don't know how to get traffic either. In fact, let me tell you the story. I tell a story about how I do my traffic stuff, and all of a sudden they're like, I could do that. And this false belief falls away. And if you do it right, like if you knock down those false beliefs, like the only option they have is to give you money or else they're going to be lying to themselves. And that's what's so cool about this thing. And so this book is all about that. And I have to understand the structuring of stories. It's like, you know, what are all the false beliefs? And these are all the things I need to touch upon and the stories I need to have. And we tell those stories, those false beliefs fall away. And that's how they become customers or clients or fans or whatever you want to call them for you. And that's the key.
That's awesome. And so with the whole false belief and everything, this is – and I think you kind of mentioned it early on here when we were just chatting a few minutes at the beginning of this topic. You have your whole model that you use on webinars in here. The model that's created millions of dollars in revenue, you shoved the whole
secret in here. And I go like slide by slide, like here's slide number one. And you turn the page and it's like here's slide number two and number three. Yeah, so I go through the entire – No, I'm not hiding anything back. You get slide by slide exactly how I pitch everything I pitch, no matter what market I'm in. And it's pretty
awesome. And you can get the audio, I remember. So it was, so you can, because sometimes when you're reading, but then when you read and listen at the same time, that's even better. And so it helped anchor it in and it helps make, I think, some major breakthroughs and stuff doing it that way as well.
Definitely.
So. Well, cool. Well, we got a couple minutes left. What would be one highlight of the book that you really want to let people know? Hey, guys, this is why you know you need to grab Expert Secrets. It's gonna change what you're doing right now today.
Well, besides all the amazing stuff we already kind of touched upon, the biggest thing that I always tell people this because people ask me a lot, like, why'd you write a book and why should I care? And I always tell people, like, my goal with this book is twofold. Like, number one, I believe this book will change your life. Like, it'll help you to understand yourself. It'll help you to tell your stories, to actually present and sell in a way that's cool, not like weird and cheesy. It'll help you to change your life. But more importantly, it'll give you the tools you need to actually change other people's lives. And like, that's the biggest thing. You know, in the very beginning of the book, I talk about this concept of, if I want to find a picture real quick, of growth versus contribution. I'm not going to find the picture, but there's a little doodle in the beginning. But you think about most of us in our lives, like we get excited about our topic, our thing that we're passionate about. And we start studying and start learning and we start geeking out and we read every blog, every podcast, like every book. And like you become amazing at this thing. But it comes to a point where like you can't continue to progress by just learning alone. Like there comes a point where you'll stale out and like you will like – I don't know. It happens in every single person I've ever met. It comes to a point where it's just like they stop. And the only way to continue to progress is to take all the stuff you've learned and like share it with others. And as you share with others, you get so much more. It lights you up more than anything you ever experienced, but also like it helps you to really understand your craft better. I mean, the best story I have to kind of share this is when I was wrestling. I was in high school. I was a state champ. I took second place in the country. I was an All-American. Like I was a good wrestler. Between my high school and my college career, my coach asked if I wanted to come and coach at a wrestling camp. And I'd never done that before. I'm like, sure. So I come to wrestling camp. And I'm teaching these little kids how to do my moves, and I'm showing them and they can't figure it out. And it's like I'm pulling my hair. I'm like, no, you do it like this. And they're like, they try it, and they couldn't do it. And for the first day or two, I was so frustrated. I'm like, I hate coaching. I'll never coach. and then like I finally found a couple kids who were like really trying to figure it out. So I started breaking it down. I'd get down on their level and I'd try stuff. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, the reason why this move works is because my hips like stuff I was unconsciously competent at.
Right, naturally.
And I found that. I was like, and I showed them. And as soon as I realized what the pattern was, then I could coach it to them. And as soon as I was able to coach it to them, then I was like, this is why that move works. I had no idea. And as soon as I understood that, then I was able to like, amplify things because now I understood how it worked. And I always tell people like the greatest experience you'll have to help continue your personal development and personal growth is by sharing what you've learned with others. Because it makes you sharper, makes you better, and you find out why things work. And that's what this book's about. It's going to help you to grow so much as a human being. It's going to help you to change other people's lives and hopefully change the world. So that's the goal in the book.
Awesome. Well, dude, it was so cool to have you back on today. Guys, if you're watching right now, make sure right over here on the side, there's a link to go get your free copy. Just pay shipping and handling for Expert Secrets. Bunch of other cool stuff. I know Russell's throwing in there as well that you can take advantage of. And then if you want, there's also a 14-day a link for a 14-day free trial of ClickFunnels right here as well. Get in there, try it out. Like I said, I've been using ClickFunnels. It's super simple. I am not technical like Russell said. He's not either. And you know, if you can just drag something around on the screen and type some text, you can make a funnel. So it's pretty that simple. And my kids are learning how to do it, so it's way easy. So check out the book. Go get the book for yourself. Support Russell and transform your life and your business today, like we say here on Making Bank. So again, Russell, thank you for coming on. Thank you for spending your time today, and it was an honor to have you back.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Cool. I am Josh Felber. You are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.